Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Binchtown TV. We are back with our coverage of Apple TV Plus's newest sci-fi TV show, Silo. I'm your host, Jim, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tyler. If you're listening from our dedicated Silo feed, then welcome to Binchtown TV. We're a television podcast that covers so many different shows, but we created this dedicated Silo feed to make it super easy for you all to follow along with us week to week. So please hit that subscribe button to stay up to date. If you found us via the search feed by searching Silo, then you found our Silo feed. But please be sure to check out our main podcast feed at Binchtown TV, because we have seven hosts who've covered almost 75 different TV shows with over 350 plus episodes. So we're sure we've covered something you guys would love. Right now, we're almost finishing up with Yellow Jackets in Succession. They're winding down. A few weeks ago, Kathleen and Tyler just did a mid-season review of Barry, and we just finished up Mando as well. Now we're working on Silo. So we've been pretty busy, and we want you guys to follow along, so please hit that subscribe button. But, Tyler, we're here. Episode 4. We're on our journey.
Titled Truth.
Titled Truth. Tell me, what'd you think of the episode, Tyler?
What's good, everyone, first and foremost? I thought this episode was solid. It is a character-building episode. Not really moving the story forward too much, but presenting us with even more questions and new characters. But in terms of the basic character work of more flushing out Juliet's character, I really was digging the flashbacks and the way that they kind of cut that throughout the episode. And at the end, I just saw it as they got to do some character work with Juliet, but also kind of juxtapose the way that she dealt with the death of her brother Jacob and her mother. Mm-hmm. Which I really liked the way they did that. I didn't need some, you know, graphic scene of her mom killing herself, but
right.
I like how she dealt with that and kind of juxtaposed it against Coach Yost or Deputy Barnes.
Yeah.
I'm still going Coach Yost. It's also Barnes. Funny to me that Graham Yost is like the writer of, of the show, which I was like, just Yost threads throughout this. I googled Graham Yost and saw that he did Boomtown back in the day. So,
the guy's got
good taste. But yeah, but it, I'll get to this point eventually. Juxtaposing Juliet and the way she dealt with such tragedy against Yost dealing with it, you know, through drinking, violence, all the more classic signs, and kind of doing another, you know, cliffhanger for us. We've got a random guy with a rifle pointed right at Coach Yost.
With the face reveal, and I was like, I don't know who you are, bro.
Yeah, that always annoys me when a show does that. Why make it like in a dark room secret if like we don't know who this is?
Yeah. They kept his face dark for so long, and then they finally revealed it, and it's like, okay, I don't know you. It's not common.
Yeah,
it's
not... no one is like pumped about. They're like, oh, it's that random guy that we
it's
didn't
not Tim
see.
Robin. It's not common. It's
he wasn't interrogated.
You.
So yeah, when we're picking nits,
I mean, it's
they
not
added
a deal,
two new characters really in this episode, right? They added that guy who we don't know who he is, and then they added the random guy who is just looking out at the world and has a what's that character's name? Was it
Lucas,
Dubai,
right?
Or Lucas? Yes, you're right. They added him as well, and it was kind of like, okay, the beeps this guy's deal.
He's gonna have a crush on Jules, man.
Yeah, but I don't know. I
feel like it would be weird to make them a thing already that quick when she's got a whole George Wilkins things going.
Well, that was my take on the episode. Some kind of clunky new additions, but good character work and building for Juliet, who is what we really care about. And, you know, they really had me going back and forth on America's favorite game show, Common or Tim Robbins. I would say they're pretty close,
even.
Look, I can deal with even, but
it seems pretty obvious
Silo.
It is tough for our favorite game when they make Bernard and Common hand in hand. So they're literally on the screen at the same time most times. And we're just like, whoa, here's 50-50. And then, it really was, though, probably 50-50, because Bernard had a few scenes and then Common had a few scenes. So we're good. We're okay. And I think we are still trending in the right direction with our favorite game.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Slow episode, but It was another character-driven episode, like you said. The end drove the plot further into the mystery side of things, but the character development was good. I guess we'll get into it at the end and what we think actually happened to Coach Yost, if he's going to make it after this episode. We heard the gunshot to end the episode. Is it just, you know, cinematography? They're giving us a little suspense. We know the deal, dude. He could have just freaking pulled that gun up. It could have shot the ceiling and he's fine. So we'll get into it. We'll see what we think. We got a little
bit more. I
didn't
even notice a gunshot.
Yeah. They do a gunshot at the very end in the background. It's not like it's as it fades to black. It's like, poof. And then, you know, fades to black to the credits. Now, you know, again, it wasn't like loud. It was quiet, but it was there. And we got a little nice DH Jor Mormont looking fresh. You know, he's dealing with grief. It just shows how different people deal with grief. He's having a tough time being a single father. We kind of guessed that originally we were thinking maybe there was some kind of drowning thing going on. And that's why Juliet was so scared of the water. Now we're kind of seeing the situation where Jacob was really sick and maybe he just died from his sickness and then the mom committed suicide and that's just how the story is going to go. I still like the idea that maybe the brother died somehow drowning and then the mom committed suicide or something and that makes her hate the water. But at the same time, I just feel like the silo isn't around water and they just don't know how to swim. And I think they're all probably scared of water. So I'm going to go with he's sick. They showed us that for a reason. Yeah. The only other thing that I could think of when it came to the dad, there's two easy ways to go about it. You know, it could be a 13-year-old saying, hey, this is your fault because he's a doctor and he didn't save the son, which then in turn turned into the mom having her grief and committing suicide. Or I was thinking, like, was the dad being a doctor trying to do like some kind of medical procedure, like experimental to save the son? And he accidentally killed the son in the procedure. That is a it's your fault kind of thing, too. But I'm sure we'll get some more. But like you said, I don't need to see the mom committing suicide or anything like that. I like that it was the undertone. We get it. We understand.
Yeah, I like that you just brought that up because that wasn't even on my radar. There might be more to the story that we learn. But honestly, if we don't hear anything else about how her mom and brother passed away, I think that they nailed it because you don't want to be sitting there for like an entire episode going back and like the brother's like, oh man, Jules, here's like my little bunny. Like they did a perfect job of one scene. He calls her jerk face, you know, it's touching. Yeah. And then the chair is broken and she's fixing it. That type of stuff. I'm a big like fan of not necessarily giving me too much, even when she was asking the person in recycling for the box, if they saw a box in the sheriff's office and then they flash back to showing it. I was like, don't do that. Like, I'm not an idiot. I know what she's talking about, but that's the type of thing where like my parents are like, oh, sweet. Yeah, I get it now. It's
the
hard
casuals
drive.
Need it. The casuals need it, Tyler. The HBO, parents of the world.
HBO doesn't
it.
Mess with that.
I mean, Coach Yost took a turn, man. I said it in the last episode that he did say, like, I don't think you should pick Jules. But then when the mayor picks Jules, he took her side because he obviously loves her and he respects her. But this episode starts and he's like, I never wanted you to be here. You stink. I hate you. Like, you know, and he's just grieving like hell, man. And he's, you know, you said,
I thought he did a great job in that initial scene when he's talking with Bernard and Sims and he like breaks the chair. I thought that was a great,
he's buff, dude. He just smashed that chair with his, just squeezing it. It's the Hulk.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the episode for him because I just thought it was really a good job that they did of, again, not giving you too much. They're setting up the idea that he's got a lot of enemies because you don't police an area for 30 years and not make a lot of enemies. So that makes it more believable that somebody that we wouldn't know is going to kill him at the end. But that ending really just annoyed me.
I know.
Guy. It's like, who the fuck's this guy?
Revealing the face of the guy we don't know.
I guess he's
going to be like shown in plain sight to Jules as like a regular citizen. And we're going to be like, there's the guy. But Jules isn't going to know yet because he's Judicial's plan
and that's
or something.
Fine, but why have this elaborate fight scene in the dark when the person that they're having a fight scene with means nothing to me? I was a little annoyed by that. I was
it's gotta be
Common. And then you're like, wait, he's got hair. It can't be.
Yeah, he's got hair on his head. He's not wearing a leather jacket. But I mean, The other thing that was really cool with the first scene is we find out right away that we were pretty much correct with the poison, the rat poison. Now, we said specifically that we thought it was going to be that he was the one that they were targeting. That was our guess, just to say, oh, that would be pretty cool if it was him that they were targeting so they could plant somebody as the deputy while we have another sheriff. And then it just so happened that the mayor took the bullet. Now, it was basically that, except for the fact that they poisoned both. They were going for both. They were switching bottles, but it just so happened that the mayor's bottle, which had the hole in it, so he didn't drink from it. She drank from his. That killed her, and he survived. And so he's feeling the grief, but he's feeling the guilt. And he is throwing down because he knows it's rat poison. It's so obvious it's poison. And this is where he's knocking down doors. But he's doing the whole, I don't know. We haven't really got into the whole thing about if unsanctioned relationships are a big deal, and we don't have to get into that, but I mean, it's so obvious if you're Bernard and Common and even Jules. I feel like Jules figured it out obviously towards the end when she sees the picture, but you know, he was acting like it's someone he loved that was killed, not someone he respected, even though he was acting that way. Like when he breaks the chair and he's like, don't call her, that's a freaking mayor, man, that's the mayor. But he's basically saying like, I loved her, don't just freaking call her by her name, give her the respect she deserves. He's in love and he's feeling the grief.
Yeah, for sure. I really did like as well that it gives you some insights into some qualities that Juliet has that might make her a really solid sheriff, right? Mm-hmm. She at one point says, you know, on the mechanical floor, everybody's got a theory for why someone's broken, but I deal in facts. And that's the same thing when she's talking to Yost. It's like, I deal in facts. The mayor's dead. You're not. So they were probably going for the mayor. You're going to act like she doesn't have enemies. And they're really also building up Judge Meadows. I don't know if you're getting that feeling, but Common comes, or Sims, I swear to the audience, besides Coach Yost, I will slowly get into.
I need to start writing down Sims because in my head and my notes, he's Common. So
I came into this pod and I'm already on a good note with my Jules, my Juliet. Interesting too, how they kind of weave in, you know, that it's from Romeo and Juliet, obviously.
Right.
That was written by rebels or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with Sims saying, hey, you know, Judge Meadows put it through, we can get Billings in here, and Coach Yost doesn't give her up. I thought that that was important. And we were talking last week about the actress that Meadows could be.
Yeah. Jean Smart's coming, man.
I'm starting to get a vibe that Judge Meadows is a computer.
That's cool. So Bernard's tech, he's IT. And I know that you're not learned anymore in Westworld. I think you said you stopped around or after season two, maybe, right?
Yeah, I didn't watch season two or three.
Don't want to get into any kind of major spoilers, but there is like this huge overarching theme where there's a supercomputer that's running a lot. And that's interesting. That's very interesting, especially because it's super into the future. We know that. We know that Bernard is IT and he is speaking for the judge. Now, I don't know how would we react where it's like, hey, Mayor, you didn't go visit Miss Computer here, but that's something where we don't know how a supercomputer would work in this time period.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that Meadows never existed. I just wouldn't be surprised if, going back to the first episode when Allison is telling the sheriff, hey, like, I'm not the type of person they want to have kids. Paul Billings is the type of sheriff that the numbers like, is what Bernard says last episode. It just seems like there's this undercurrent running through Bernard's character, who is gaining more and more steam in the show and is going to be the, you know, the mayor in the interim, that so many of the decisions in the silo are being managed by data and outcomes. And I just wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes, like the judge, jury, executioner is just more of like an algorithm or something. Yeah.
Non-biased algorithm. So you're out on the whole Bernard's wearing a wig thing.
Yeah. I was thinking about, like, you know, maybe maybe Bernard doesn't have facial hair and he's just putting it on. So, but then, you know, the facial hair looked like it was on there pretty good in this episode.
It's pretty tight,
so I think I'm going out on my Meadows is Tim Robbins with a wig theory. But
I love that. Actually, I wasn't thinking about the supercomputer thing, but I really do like that theory a lot.
It just seems weird that Judge Meadows hasn't been shown to us yet, but essentially everything that the judge is tied to is communicated so quickly with Bernard's character and mm-hmm. through Sim's character as well. It just seems like someone else is pulling the strings. And, you know, you could also flip it on its side and say they were super curious whether the mayor was going to visit Meadows or not, because they knew that they'd have to do some, you know, dog and pony show.
Wizard of Oz kind of thing.
If she did come in to meet. That was one thought I had going along the lines. I do also enjoy that they finally, it's been three episodes, but they did show us why he takes the screws out of the AC unit. So that was cool. I like that he's using like the same fishing wire. Again, Apple TV Plus, don't show me the flashback. I know that's what before. I don't need to see that again. But I thought that was cool that he was hiding the George Wilkins file. So that's obviously a big deal. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you nailed it from the very beginning about paying attention to the screws being pulled. We went pretty deep into it thinking they're maybe pumping air into the rooms or something. So mm-hmm. that is obviously out for us for now. But yeah, I thought that was a really cool reveal. I mean, when she first gets into the room, as soon as they said she's going to have his room, I was like, boom. You know, and that's how I feel
was
like
thinking
you should.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you are our parents and you're not really paying attention to everything that's going on, specifically when it comes to smaller details like the vents and this unscrewing of the vent by Holston, you're going to see some things like, well, the thing that got me good was, first of all, she was going to get his apartment. As soon as she was going to get his apartment, I was like, there's something there. Then when she gets in there and the rattling's happening, I'm like, Jules, come on, open that damn vent, girl. And then, of course, we get the scene where Bernard is like, you want somebody to fix that? And it's a good thing nobody did fix that. And then at the end of the episode, she hears it again, opens up the vent. To our parents, her opening up the vent is like, whoa, got me moment, obviously, because they're not seeing the steps, but we're waiting for it, which is cool because we noticed it. We had a theory. We were wrong, but it turned into something cool. I thought the vent thing was a great reveal. I love that he used the fish wire, like you said. I don't need the flashback, but I'm, you know, again, maybe our parents did, and you do have to juggle. You have to juggle between two different types of viewers. We're sitting here as podcasters, fine-tooth combing everything.
Yeah, no, I'm just joking on that. And I do like how now Bernard knew that it was wrangling. So if he comes back into the apartment, he's going to be like, oh, it's not doing that anymore. Did you get it fixed? I didn't see anybody call mechanical. And she's going to, it's just going to create more of the rift. Now,
yeah,
we do also have the flowers left. It says douse the flowers in water in front of the mirror, which I'm like, action that shit right away. What are we waiting for here? Like, why is that happening not in this episode? I don't understand. But from the trailer for the entire show, there are scenes where she's like running through more of like the agricultural side of the silo. So
cool.
I feel like that's going to be a link where, you know, something is going on, but they give us like an answer to the vents and then they give us the douse the flowers in water in front of a mirror and don't action it. So they got me holding on. I did like the payoff. I was surprised because I thought the hard drive in the bag or was it just George's file?
It was just the file. I don't think we have the hard drive yet still. Maybe when she doused the flowers in water, the hard drive's going to grow out of the dirt.
I mean, maybe it is. I don't know.
You can't keep all your eggs in one basket, Tyler. You know the rules, man. He hides one thing one place. It's obviously not the flowers, but the other thing has to go somewhere else. Because if Bernard got into that vent, hit me with something. I hear you.
Hit you with something else that's annoying me. Sorry.
I thought you were going to give me a theory, dude. You know how you're going to annoy me?
Well, I want you to think about it too.
Yeah.
So truth, the word truth is inscribed on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is just me, but why are both T's capitalized?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did notice that too. So it's capital T, R-U-T lowercase, and then a T at the end, capital as well, right?
You just spelled
truth. I'm sorry, I meant
it's
try what I was going trust
in. That is staying in.
I was going with trust. I'm sorry. Like, that's staying in. That is definitely staying in. What did I say? R-U-S?
I don't even. I don't even. My brain was breaking.
Oh, no, we're keeping it. We're keeping it in there, dude.
It was.
But I was going with trust.
T, lowercase R-U, capital T, lowercase H.
Yeah.
So look, maybe this is just the way he wrote it, but like, why are it just seems like a detail that they keep showing you. So it's like, I've had a million times seeing the badge to see this. And it's like, well, I don't know enough about his handwriting to think that he's just got shit handwriting. Like, why is that? I don't know that I kept trying to think of like TT, like what is, you know, if I meet a character that's got that's initials or TT, I'm going to be like, that's the clue.
Yep. I like that. I trust you, Tyler. Okay. I trust that you'll find the truth.
You'll trust that I'll find the truth.
Well, I mean, obviously, let's get into this now. We might as well. It's a nice transition. We have the scenes where Yost is just going ham. He's going nuts, right? Start beating the shit out of the guy who accidentally poison people with alcohol, not even rat poison, no real connection. He's just like, you poisoned someone 2 years ago. I'm going to beat the shit out of you until you give me answers, which is also hilarious because he's beating the shit out of this guy in public saying, where'd you get the poison? While Bernard and Sims were like, dude, let's keep the mayor's death under wraps here. That people were going like, who got poison, man? Who is it? But he's just going off the rails. But this leads to all these scenes happening where finally Jules sits down with Yost, the deputy, and they're still not on the right page. He's still not feeling her yet. And she just decides to let it rip. And she tells him everything. Because he says, what did you say to Holston to make you get chosen? Because I don't see it. You don't know anything about Holston. You don't know anything about being a sheriff. What's the deal? And she tells him. She tells him the truth, which is very brave of her because literally he isn't on her side right now, and he could have taken it totally the opposite way. He was against all of the kind of craziness of what's outside and why you're thinking about that, and I'm sorry about Allison, but you don't need to worry about it. So she took a chance, and it worked out, and it got him presumably on her side. What did you think about her deciding to tell him everything?
I thought it was a great scene just because it seemed real, because I was the same way. Like, she doesn't necessarily have to tell him right away, but then when he pushes her further, it's like, this is fucking why. It's not like she did anything wrong. She's like, I convinced him, and then I was just sitting there for fucking waiting, and now I got this thing with two T's in it. This with two capitalized T's in this truth. So I thought that was a good move. And then linking back to what you were just saying about Coach Yost too, we got to think about the people that have died in the silo now. So Holston and Allison, they left, but we've got two, potentially three, if Yost just bit the bullet, murders. We know George Wilkins' character was searching for things, so he was breaking the rules. Mayor Johns goes and puts a deputy in that they don't want. That doesn't make sense. And Yost is wiling out, freaking getting everybody riled up, and now somebody's coming in to kill him.
Right.
So it seems like, you know, you step out of line, you get killed. That's what we're learning as the viewer right now. You get killed by some random guy that we've never met before. So that was the way I took it. You know, just he's not following orders, essentially.
Yeah.
And Common and Sims says to him, like, they had clinking beers, like, we are doing what's good for the silo. And it was kind of like, I was like, oh, man, that, like, he's marked for death now because he's on that. But I do think it was the right move for Juliet to give him the baseline because she knows that she can play to his side where he doesn't really know what's going on. I would say that she's got to figure out a better channel to communicate with Walker down on the basement floor. I'm like, what the beep? This is just like the channel that every cop is on. Like, why would you use that?
Yeah,
but we've also got cooking that it looks like Walker's character has got the camcorder, the digital camcorder up and running. So I don't know. This was a setup episode, like we said from the jump, but it did give us, you know, now we've got the camcorder, we've got Yost is potentially dead, we got the file, we've got a guy that killed Yost, we've got, or didn't kill Yost, one or the other, he's still a new character. We've got Lucas, who, again, I know he's going to mean something, really didn't like his entrance.
His quick interaction,
it's just so dumb. Like,
well, Jules just cracks me up because she doesn't give a shit, man. Like, he's trying to be a little charming, a little, you know, he's trying to have a quick conversation. She's just like, your minute's up,
bro. I mean, if I was her, I'd get down.
And it is noticeable that he was there at another scene too.
Yeah, so they showed you every night. It looks like he's looking out. So
he wants to know what's out there.
Yeah, like as the viewer, it's like this guy could be a potential friend,
ally at some point.
But it's just a little bit clumsy to me to just like, it's like, give me a better reason that this guy is coming into play. But we'll see.
And it is interesting how it turned out with Yost, the deputy, and Jules. You said it last episode that you were assuming that her only ally at this time, Upside, was going to be Yost, right? And actually,
and her dad,
but which we'll get into that in a second. And it turned out that wasn't even right because he took the turn after the death. He got a little dark and he pushed on the pedal saying, I'm not down with Jules being the sheriff. But then, like you said, she finessed it and she got an agreement between them. You know, I'll get you the truth if you help me get my truth. We'll work with each other. Scratch my back, scratch yours. Team Molly, you know where my back is located, right?
And then she even says, like, and then I'll get the fuck out of being the deputy. Yeah. Like, I won't be the sheriff afterwards. If I figure out what happened to George, then I'm out.
It's the perfect bargain, especially for Yost. I mean, she doesn't care either. She doesn't.
Thing.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be the sheriff. She's only the sheriff because she wants to use that to get her answers. She'll happily go back and keep making sure the generator works right and hang out with my boy Coop and all the other homies. And now I don't know if we did get this in the earlier episodes and we just didn't write it down, but we did get the name drop for Knox, and she was picked early to be his shadow.
Knox is not the
he's not the head machinery guy.
He is the head machinery guy. I'm saying the woman.
No. I thought we said we didn't have his name either.
No. We've got Knox. We knew we had Knox's name, but I don't have the
We still
woman.
Don't have her name.
We still don't have her. And she's like,
they show younger her.
They're scavenging together. And you're just like, what is her name? Like, can someone tell me?
Yeah. So another nice de-aging situation with Walker, Succession Mama. I really like the flashbacks with that, showing how her and Jules' relationship started at a very young age for Jules. We guessed that, but still, it was nice to see. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how she reacts with her dad now, or interacts with her dad now. We were guessing it wasn't great when she left, but it's not going to... I mean, I don't know what his deal is going to be. Like, is he going to be an ally, or are they just going to be like continuing their battle, just an adult version of it, you know, because she's still not happy with how things turned out. And then, you know, it gets all happy and eventually they get back together as a father and daughter. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see. I thought we were going to get that. I thought she was going to visit him pretty early on, but does make sense that she didn't.
She was looking at medical, right? And it also, this episode, the one last thing I'll say, what it also gave us was every episode, I feel like I'm getting a little bit more perspective on how things move in the silo. Just meaning, you know, when she was a kid, she was on floor 61 doing the recycling. Then when she's asking about the recycling for Holston's apartment, she's on floor 20. So it's showing us like the range in which people are walking up. Then I got me thinking, man, if I was doing like 20 flights of stairs back and forth all day, like that's why most of the people there look like they're buff, you know?
Nice calves and stuff, man.
There's a lot of great calves in the show.
Now, another person we didn't really talk about was, what was she? The admin person for Holston?
Yeah.
Was she?
Yeah.
Is she a cop? But her name's Sandy, right?
Is she a cop?
is it Sandy?
I believe it's Sandy. Yes.
Yeah.
Sandy.
She showed us a lot, though. She proved what you were also saying in early episodes. There is stereotypes in the silo. If you're down under, if you're the bottom 50 levels, you know, she stereotyped, oh, we don't know what you eat down there.
She,
and all that kind of
She hits hard with some slander. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. She's pulling the whole, you're not Holston and I wish you were Holston kind of thing. And it's like, calm down. Like, Jules is just sitting here trying to do her thing. And
yeah, so much aggression from Sandy.
Yeah, and I did like the whole scene where Yoz is like, Sandy doesn't like you, man. She's like, I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
We have a couple things to talk about still, but I don't want to end the episode without talking about the scene where Yoz holds the beer over the ledge, man. He was doing it for me in that scene. So when the sign says don't hold anything over the ledge, he's just, and he's just like, he got his beer, and he's like, yeah, baby. Holding it over the ledge, and then he takes a drink.
I did like that.
That was funny to me, but I think that we pretty much got everything. I really do like that they're going to keep Walker in the loop, even though I'm not happy, like you said, that everyone can hear her. It did help that Yoast heard the conversation because it proves that Jules didn't know anyone else was listening, and it's a non-biased conversation where Yoast is hearing that, oh, I might have found an ally, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and blah, 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 and it got him on her side. So that was good, but
I feel
they
like
need to figure out another way to talk.
I feel like Walker is going to be marked for death, man. If she's
got a running
camcorder and she doesn't ever leave her place, they're just going to go down and kill the shit out of her.
The mayor was her ally. Something else we didn't really talk about is it seemed like in the past when we have those scenes that the mom was known, whether her and Walker were friendly or what.
I took it as she was born in mechanical.
Okay. Yeah, because she's like, you're your mother's daughter. And, you know, I like that whole thing. So, like, she was mechanical and then moved up.
Yeah, she was reaching. And there's obviously that kind of like, you know, oh, yeah, your mom went from mechanical and moved on up, like kind of some sour grapes. That was the way I took it, at least. But yeah, it was cool to see that Walker she was running shit back in the day, and her shadow was Knox. And that's why Knox is running shit now. And that was why she put Juliet underneath Knox and obviously had a close relationship with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked more character development, just talking about the fact that Jules just kind of threw down with her dad, you know, saying, listen, do I like what I'm doing? I don't know, but I'm freaking good at it and it keeps me busy and I don't think about mom and Jacob. And that was a good enough answer. I really can't figure out what's going to happen with Jor Mormont, the dad. I don't know if he's going to become straight up an ally, if they're just going to have a problematic relationship. He seemed like he loves his daughter. He just doesn't seem like a great dad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just putting characters through the lens of like a unspeakable trauma and seeing what happens. I think they put it in that the guy is not perfect, but he does give a shit about his daughter. And I do think, to your point, whether that is they're like, you know, hatching schemes together in the future, or there's just some powerful dialogue between them, time will tell. But they did seem like they were giving him a fair amount of face time, to the point where it's making me think he's going to become more of a player for her. And it would make sense that she would lean. Guess what? You take out her mother figure, Miss Walker, who's she going to lean on? Her
dad.
That's
true. She needs a dad. So I have a couple questions before we end this episode. The first question, I'm weirded out that we didn't bring this up before, and I feel like it should be a question, and maybe there's a reason, but why the hell are there no elevators in this silo, man? They're futuristic. You're making me run up and down. You really want me to have great calves that much that you're making me run up and down 150 floors? Is it because they want to keep people segregated? Do they want to keep, you know, the bottom 50,
it's a good,
the
it's a good
50?
Question. Yeah, we should have. I don't know why. I honestly am not even thinking about it. But it would seem like that creates the levels and the disparity in power. So it's a good question. It'll probably become more apparent as we learn more about Bernard's character or Judge Meadows ever reveals herself.
Yeah. And the last thing isn't really too big of a thing for this specific episode. We haven't gotten too much more at all when it comes to our theory from the last episode about whether, you know, it's actually nice outside or if it's poison and we have the VR headsets on and we're, you know, basically what we said last episode. Something that I think is another plus to our theory, and if anyone missed the last episode, our theory is that outside is actually poisoned and the suit that you're wearing does nothing for you protection-wise. All it does is give you a VR headset kind of situation where you see the green, the sun, the birds, and that gives you your incentive to clean because you want to show everyone in the silo that this is what the outside actually looks like. You clean, but then you die. And literally the reason is you have to clean the cameras. They have to be cleaned. The suits aren't protective, so they need someone to clean, and that's the incentive. Now, something that I think is a good point that we didn't really bring up too much, we brought it up in the earlier episodes before we made this theory, is that in the scene where we see Holston and he takes the helmet off and then they're watching him from the camera, he walks or he crawls directly to his wife. But if it's the other way around and outside is actually very, very nice and the wife survived and we're saying the wife like got over the hill and she's living the dream, how would he know the exact spot to crawl to unless they're somehow manipulating an entire camera thing where like he takes it off and then they like add him to it and do all this extra bullshit? If he's going directly to her, she's got to be laying there. I feel like it has to be.
Yeah, that was, and I don't know if I mentioned that last week, but that was a main factor that made me kind of rethink everything. Now, again, like for all we know, there is that technology, you know, they're just kind of coming up with this stuff, but I'm with you. That played into why I do think that it's actually not great outside.
Yeah. The only other way you can go about it is if you want to go the reverse and say it is nice outside and the suit's poisoning you from the inside, like the dead body. I don't know. The bodies could be there because they're killing you anyway, but then they're not. I don't know. Yeah, I like where we're going with this. I do think that this is cool. We haven't gotten anything for this episode yet. I'm sure we'll start getting some. It does seem like it's the calm before the storm. This was a very character-driven episode. Like you said, though, we did get a lot. We did get
things
a lot.
Things are going to pop next episode. I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
All right,
bones.
And now here's the deal, Tyler, right before we end this episode. You feel it in your plums? Before we end this episode, put it on the board. Do you think Yost is going to be alive or dead when we get into the next episode?
I think Yost is dead.
Yeah, I agree. I do. I don't know how it's going to start. If that gunshot isn't like just cinematic, and it actually means like he was shot in the scene and they didn't show it, and then is the episode going to start? Oh, there's another dead body.
I'm a big look. Like I've said, I'm a huge trailer guy. Before I started watching, I watched the trailer. And then to be honest, I just watched it. I watched it this morning because I finished the episode and it's like sitting right there in Apple TV. So I'm like, I'll watch it again. And there is one of the things in the trailer is two bodies being buried
that looks ceremonial.
And we know that Mayor Johns is going to have a ceremony. So it did.
Okay.
Just the two bodies makes me think they're just going to double whammy.
Yost is gone. And that's a weird thing to add to the trailer to kind of like give us that before the next episode.
Well,
but
it's also like we're four episodes in, so by the time this show's over, that's also showing me that like they're adding so many elements that I just feel like Johns and Coach Yost are
it's gonna be a footnote
by the end of it. They're just gonna be people that died along the way. So,
and if we're right about our theory, then Allison's probably like nothing and Holston will be more of something because he's still laying clues
for 3 months,
but otherwise they're like you said, I mean you called it earlier in the pod, you said that they might just be straight up the prologue, just an example of a family that are, you know, questioning the silo, and let's move on to the main story, which, Timon, another dub for you, man. I do think that's where we're going. Anything else before we end this episode?
The only last thing I'll say is I did like some of the cinematography. Again, not to nerd out too much, but a lot of cool scenes where Tim Robbins' character is like, when it is focused on him, he's in like shadow pretty much. And yeah, I'm getting some vibes that just Tim Robbins' character is everything, is the big bad.
And that's what we want, man. Yeah. That's winning
and
the
then,
game.
And then we know that we're going to win the game if that's happening.
That's what we're looking for. Just to end the episode here, I do really like, I'm putting that down on the board. Not on the board, but I'm putting it in my notes. I really like the supercomputer kind of thing where Judge Meadows might actually be a computer running the algorithm.
Put the two T's in there too, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, put those two T's in there, man.
Something with those two T's.
Put the T in the beginning and the T in the end, dude. Keep that in there.
Something with those two T's.
I trust you, bro.
It's got T money.
Now, we have a little note. We have a note from from Holston. We would have to analyze that and see if there's capital T's
in there.
It's like
in good cursive.
Yeah, well, then there you go. Maybe there's, yeah. I mean, he's obviously carving, but still, that's not a reason to make one capital letter.
Yeah,
to start.
I would say it's easier to carve just a T across than it is to do a capitalized.
Yeah,
T.
Because you got the capital, you have to make sure you don't accidentally, you know, go through the middle and you're.
Do I have you on board with my truth?
You have me, man. You have me.
I've got you right in my way.
So I went into the file. I kind of like pause to see if there's anything on the file that she was looking at. She makes the face like, woo, when she looks at it. It's just because it's George Wilkins. I didn't see anything on there that really mattered because it was really the front of the file. But yeah, we'll get into that right away next episode, it looks like. Hopefully the flowers is answered next episode. Like you said, if I'm her and I'm digging, as soon as I get into his office, I'm like, yo, Sandy, where's the file? Blah, blah, blah. If you see something about the flowers, you should be going to do the flowers right away. But, yeah. You know, we'll get that next episode. The camcorder. There's a lot of stuff that's getting ready to drop, and it's going to be cool. I really do think it's the calm before the storm. I'm excited. Tyler, this has been awesome. Two BFFs is doing the damn thing, man. We've been killing it for Silo. We got episode 5 coming next week. I'm going to have to check out that trailer because I missed it. And
Check out the trailer. And as always, if you know, wherever you're listening to this pod or Reddit threads or what have you, I want to hear, you know, I'm not on social media as much, but my buddy Jim is, and I would love to kind of wrinkle in some questions or maybe comments from some of the listeners out there in our future pods, because look, if you're here for this, that's all we're doing. We're just shooting the shit and spitballing, right? So
yeah,
join the fray. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I want
to
shout out the Reddit already. I want to shout out the Reddit already because we posted our episode and we gotten a lot of nice comments. A lot of people are saying they appreciate the fact that we have not read the book. So Tyler, don't you dare start reading that book yet.
Yeah.
It's cool to have that perspective. We have two guys right here talking on the pod that have no idea what the heck is going to happen. A lot of the book readers are saying that they appreciate having that perspective. It's like they're rereading the book for the first time, you know, trying to figure out the mysteries. They're doing that through our lens. So yeah, we're going to give a shout out to that Reddit. There's a Facebook group that I'm about to jump on. I'm going to post some stuff on there because guys, I like a lot what they're posting. We're going to post some theories on there, see how everyone's doing. Maybe we'll post the pod on there if they like that. So I think that's it. If you like what you heard, hit us up on BingeTownTV.com. Like I said earlier in the intro, if you are listening on the Silo feed, please hit that subscribe button. But don't forget, we are a podcast that covers 75 different TV shows, whether it's full breakdowns or just single episodes. We've done a lot of stuff over the past 3 years. BingeTownTV.com. You could just search BingeTown TV on any of your podcast feeds. Hit that subscribe button. We appreciate every single one of you. If you are checking us out on YouTube, we have right now some big theory videos for Yellow Jackets coming out. They've been doing very well. We love all the interactions. If you guys have any comments, theories, like Tyler said about Silo, please hit us up. I'm going to do a separate video on Silo soon, talking about me and Tyler's theory, separating that onto the YouTube channel. So it's going to be fun. I love the theory talk. Yeah, but once again, we are BingeTown TV, and thank you so much for listening.
What do you do, baby?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.